Good morning. If you could open up your Bibles to page 875, your pew Bibles. I don't know what it is in your personal Bible. In your phone, it's under the YouVersion Bible app. Make sure your phones or iPads are in airplane mode. Trust me, the app still works while it's in airplane mode because I don't want to get the ringer as well to tell me my time is up. So open up your Bibles to page 875. To Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll be reading from verses 3 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here ends the reading of his word. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now that the words that come out of my mouth be your words. Father, may I be your instrument, and Lord, I pray that our hearts, our minds, our whole bodies are ready, distraction-free, to hear, to listen, to soak in, to put into practice as we leave this place. Father, may you be glorified. I pray this in your name. Amen. At the age of 37, I've got it figured out. Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you. You can't do this thing called life on your own. I just figured that out. Okay? It took me 37 years to figure out that you can't do this thing, life, on your own. In fact, it starts from the beginning of conception. Actually, we are at the stage of going to, Tamar and I are at the stage of going to ultrasounds over and over again, right, to make sure baby number two is doing well. Actually, baby boy number two is doing well. Yep, right, baby boy, right? So, but it's absolutely fascinating when you're looking at this ultrasound and you're seeing this boy in the womb. From then on, you can actually figure out that you can't do this thing, life, on your own. And within this life, from 9 months till 99 years of life, wherever you fall on that spectrum, maybe over 99, there are three more realities. Other than you can't do this on your own, there are three more realities that we live with. Number one is, whatever stage we are in life, in high school, college, young family, empty nest, traveling, retired, wherever you are in that spectrum of nine months to 99 years, we have these three realities. Number one, deep down, we want to live this life well. That's a goal in our lives. We want to live this life well. And actually, some of us take that word well and we put good, better, best, awesome, superb. We want to have life and we want to live it to the fullest. Number two, we do everything in our power to control, number one. So we do everything in our power. We plan, we set in motion, we execute, we control everything we want that we plan. We say, number one, I want to live life. I want to live it life to the fullest. Number three, we actually want to finish well as well. Not only do we want to start, hey, some of us actually have this like grading scale. Oh, I didn't execute this goal in my life. I'm not going to finish well. My retirement is not enough. My this is not enough. And so we want to even finish well. So we start planning our lives, living them, going from one thing to the next. Education, career, home, spouse, dog, all the time wanting to do it well, to excel, to be the best. Children, different stages of childhood, teenage years, kids' education, second career, empty nest, travel, marriage of kids, retired life, enjoying the grandkids. All the time wanting to live it well, superb, excellent, perfect. Controlling that outcome as much as we can, controlling, massaging it, making sure there's nothing getting in the way. Now, let me be real. There's nothing wrong with these desires. Maybe even striving for the best for the different stages of life. We do it. We have these desires in our businesses. We want to have a life without issues, a family life without issues. We want a well-balanced social life. The calendar is full for 6 months. Nothing can get in the way of my desired, my designed, my controlled, successful, happy, well-rounded life. Because the focus is what? Number three, I want to finish well. I want to do it well. Because we want, at the end, we want the Eferim Dras. Good job, bravo, you did it well. We want the name on the plaque. We want the legacy to be passed on from generation to generation. So we start living the life well. We will control everything we can to make sure that plan is well. Because why? Because we want to finish well. So from 9 months to 99 years of life, we're on this path of trying to live well. What happens with the serious illness diagnosed to my child at the teenage years stage of my well-planned life? Why is this happening? Our prayer life actually starts to incrementally get high when at the age of 49, diagnosed with thyroid cancer. We got such a good grip on the control on the investments, right? Future retirement is steady, financial stability for the grandkids. I've got money to give to everybody because we've got this goal of living and finishing well. What happens when we're faced with financial problems at 61? And there's no more money to travel with. Isn't it true with just these two examples of a serious illness and all the money's gone in your bank account right now? If I were to say all your money is gone right now in the bank account, you all be looking at, you wouldn't be thinking about me anymore. You're going to kind of even have a second guessing yourself. You may even turn your phone on and go right onto the online banking app and check, is he for real? Look, I just zapped your money away. Are you okay? What happens? Isn't it true with just those two examples, the money and the serious illness, our prayer life increases. We want to finish well and live well. What do we do with the scenarios that we haven't planned for? Well, here's the interesting thing about all of this. The Apostle Paul gives us from 9 months to 99 years of life, he gives us a script of what our prayer should be as he prays two specific requests for the church in Colossae. He gives two prayer requests for this church. In the 9 months to the 99 years of our lives, he gives us these two simple prayer requests ought to be at the core of our lives, of our life plan. For life, so the question we're going to ask, for our lives. So then what should we pray for? And why should we pray this? Again, from the beginning, I said, we have already a plan. We've got it all figured out. That at this age, I'm going to retire. At this age, my kid's going to get into this college. I'm going to use this money. All these things are laid out and planned out. We actually may not even need these prayer requests, these questions. What should we pray for then? Or why should we pray this? Until life starts to get shaky with certain things. So, the Apostle Paul starts off with these questions, right? And the Apostle Paul is thankful for the church for their response to the gospel. And you know that the Apostle Paul has actually never met these people? He's never actually physically been introduced. He actually didn't plant the church. His work, one of his leaders, Epaphras, that he groomed, planted the church. But he's thankful for the reports that he's getting from him about how they're growing. Whenever I'm out with people, coffee or dinner or casual conversation after church, I usually ask these questions. How's it going? How's life? Tell me a story. What's the recent thing that's going on? How's life? How's it going? And, you know, you get the run of the usual. I can anticipate the usual answers, right? Business is good. Life's good. Kid got into this college. Kid's doing this. This is great. Oh, we were sick this week, and now we're healthy. It was fun. We went away and visited the grandkids down south or up north and, you know, got to love on the grandkids, and the kids got to go out on a date and things like that. These are great and good stories. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret that goes on in my head. These experiences are good, but I don't actually get excited about hearing those stories. they're great. Don't get me wrong. I'm good. It's good. I like them. But I don't get excited about them. I like that you're having them, but I don't get excited. And you know how I get excited very easily, right? But the answers that I actually get excited about is when you come to me and you say, God's really teaching me something. Really? What's that about? Let's talk about that. That's what I get excited about. And remember, because I told you, my job here is to see the best you can be in Jesus. So I'm going to get excited when you say, God's teaching me something, because that means you're going to become the best that you can be in Jesus. I had this great conversation with someone several weeks ago. We had been praying for this trial that they were going through, and not a trial in the court, but trial. This person had actually, they'd taken the challenge on the 21 days of fasting, and they had been praying, they had been fasting for this trial, for this difficulty. We had been praying for a particular result to happen with this incident, and it didn't go the way the person imagined. But I love what they said afterwards as we're talking. As the result came to this person, they come to me and they says, this is what had happened. And then this is his response to it. I'm okay with the outcome. I think God's just calling me to pour more into it. Look at this. To step up more and to be okay with it. You see, the person could have been bitter for God not answering the way he is supposed to answer, could have reacted in anger or disappointment, but was ready to receive the outcome of what God has in store for them. And I love these kinds of stories because this is the person striving to be what? Their best in Jesus. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's excited. He's so happy to see the growth of the gospel in the church. And in verses 3-8, that's what we see. We see his excitement. He's thankful for the bearing of fruit and growing. And because of their growth constantly, it says, the Apostle Paul, from verses 9-14, he gives us the two things that he's praying for in the church. And we're going to take that and apply it to Fresno. Two prayer requests that he's constantly praying for the church in Colossians. And we should be praying these things from 9 months. Two prayer requests. Two simple things that we could be praying for. For the rest of our lives, we can be praying these. Okay, if you're like Joy, you need to maybe write it down. There's two simple things that we can be praying, and it will help. Sorry, it will teach us. We will learn. We will grow. in our relationship with Jesus. And look at what it says. For constantly I'm praying these things. First, he's asking God to fill them with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, English is my second language to me, and so it really took me a long time to figure out, what does this knowledge of his will mean? So I had to kind of look at it another way of saying it. So here's another way of saying it. We want you, FAPC, Colossians, Christians of all generations for all time, we want you to have a comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and understanding and discernment of spiritual things. He didn't pray for their bank account to get more. He didn't pray for them to physically get better. He didn't pray for the situation. He's praying that the ways and purposes of God becomes we become better at comprehensively understanding. Or another way of saying it. Again, I'm dense, so I don't know about you. I have to hear it over again. The first request is asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so we acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. What do you think I'm thinking right now? What do you think I'm thinking? I love the smiles. What do you think I'm thinking? Oh, yes, Barbara. Okay, it's not rhetorical. Oh, good question. That's a great one. Are you thinking that I'm thinking that, are they hearing me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because seriously, I had to read this verse 14,000 times. Knowledge of his will? God, what does this mean? Of course, you have no idea. So here's the rhetorical twist on this. How will we know what God wants for us, as it says, his purposes, his insight into his ways, if we don't talk to him or ask questions to him? This isn't like the day before a big chemistry exam and we say, through osmosis, I will sleep on the chemistry book and it will just kind of get into my head and I will be able to go and ace the exam in chemistry. You see, a lot of the times we just say, hey, I'll just show up to church and God's just going to go through osmosis through some bald, crazy guy and he's just going to talk to me and he's going to give me my answer to what I'm asking. How are we going to know what God's intentions, his purposes, his desires are for your life if we don't talk to him? Here's the interesting thing about this request. When we hear the will of God, when we hear, fill me with the knowledge of his will, we think, okay, is it which college to go to? Or his will? To whom am I going to marry? Is this your will? These problems, this sickness, this death of, is this your will? This crummy job I have, is this your will? The difficult relationships I have, you're teaching me something through these people, is this your will? We think will of God is primarily about future, about decisions, about our needs. And I actually hate to say it. The way the commentary said it, it's just great. That's a self-centered view of what the will of God is. It's all about me. God, it's my needs, it's my future, it's my decisions. Me, me, me. But not the case. God's will is mandated here. How are you going to know this if you don't open it? How are you going to know what his will is if we don't talk to him? So when the Apostle Paul is praying for them, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. It's not teach me your will. It's teach me to do your will. It's not teach me your will. Teach me to love others. I don't want to love others. Teach me to love others. Wait, but before that, there's another one. Love God with all you got. Love others. And the third, make disciples. That's his will. It's in here. It's mandated in here. We know his will. We love him with all I got. Love others, make disciples. We think when we say grow in knowledge, okay, you know, more study, more Bible study. I'm going to grow in that way, knowledge. Study is good. Actually, growth in Jesus is not just in our heads. It's growth when it goes from our head to our heart, it goes out to our hands, it goes out to our feet, it grows in it, and actually, what is it? Jesus reigning. Full reign in my life. Full reign, not just one side of my hand where it doesn't get to my wallet. Full body, full reign, that's the knowledge of his will. I'm allowing him to reign in my body. So, spend more time with God. I'm going to tell you, other than driving from work back and forth to work. Spend more time. I challenge you. I dare you. Spend more five minutes. I got to be honest. I was super uncomfortable. I'm a pastor, right? Oh, you're a pastor. You're a brother. I was super uncomfortable going to the prayer time when we started here. These guys in there, they're great. They're great guys, right? Kalen, Paul, and by the way, Greg, Richard, they go in there and then pray, right? I was super intimidated. I'm going, God, what if I don't have anything to pray? Like, what if I don't want to say anything? Just go in there and spend time. Actually, you'll get into this like, wow, okay, I just open my mouth and just say what's on my heart. Yeah, just talk. Just talk. Spend more time. We don't pray just so God gives me, like a genie in a lamp. We consistently pray so we can see how his ways should be our way. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it says, you've been given the Spirit of God. You've heard me say that if you have a relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of God has been given to you. And another way of saying it's dwelling, it's abiding. It takes a residency in our house, in our lives, right? Okay, I'm using these as synonymous. It doesn't get an H-1 visa. God ain't a tourist in your house, okay? God takes permanent residency. You are with him forever. And he abides in us, and he gets to go into the different rooms in our lives. He gets to deal with our fear. He gets to deal with the shame. He takes care of all the sin. Because why? Folks, we can't do this on our own. We can't. We can't face the fear. We can't deal with the guilt. We can't handle the shame. God comes in, and he takes care, and he starts moving in through our house, cleaning house mentally. Behaviorally. And so the faster you learn to let go of the control and let him reign, the faster you'll learn about his wonderful ways, his intentions, his purposes for your life. I don't like washing dishes. Some of you are crazy and you love to wash dishes, but I don't love to wash dishes. And yes, I got an object lesson for us today. I don't love to wash dishes, but prayer, I only do it because I love my wife. Prayer and reading through God's word is the water that's here. I mean, it's a little soapy just to make my illustration point, but prayer and reading is the water that is necessary, okay? We can't just take a dry sponge and try to clean that pasta gunk-filled pot that has like burned a little bit on the bottom, and like maybe you're like, I need the Brillo pad to scrub it first, and then got to get the sponge. You can't just take a dry sponge and try to go at it, right? Yes, no, you're crazy. There's a trick I know. Let's talk after. But you got to take the sponge, right? You got to take the sponge and you got to get it filled with water, right? You got to just get it filled with water and soap. Right? Now it's coming and it's soaked. Right? You squeeze it and it's soapy water. You see, if we're not praying and reading God's word, you're just a dry sponge, ineffective, not able to clean the different parts of our lives. There are certain parts of our lives that are just crummy and dirty, and God's saying, I've got it. I came to the cross for that. All you got to do is just spend time with me, and when we get the water going in there and we get the soap and the sponge, we're going to start cleaning house. And we're going to be nice and clean. I know, I'm not telling you you're going to be nice and clean like the next day, but you're going to be in the process of being cleansed, right? And then at the end, when we finish, we're finishing well because Jesus sees his son cleansing you. We actually don't want to go through the prayer and the reading of God's word because we don't want anybody coming and saying, well, we got to clean that gunk up in your life. And so we don't want to, you get that? Like, we don't want to pray. I don't want to pray because God's going to tell me, you know the anger that you've got in your heart? That needs to be cleaned up too. You know the bitterness that you've got in your heart? Yeah, we got to take a Brillo pad to that one. You know the resentment you've got? Boy, are we going to need a jackhammer for that one because that's going to take some serious pounding away to get away at the gunk. You see, we actually don't want to read and pray through with God because we're going to face the mirror that we're dirty. Number two, actually, we like the dirt. We like the gunk. So we don't want God to do what he's going to promise to do is to work through our lives. Number three, we think it's crusted over there so much that there's no way God's going to change it. What's the point? He's not listening to me anyway. Just take the time and drink the water of life God offers you. I guarantee you, if you begin to let go of number two reality, if you begin to let go of control, you will start to see as I get lathered, as I get soaked up by God, as I get filled with him, as I spend more and more time with him, God's going to start working in my life and start giving me his purposes, his intentions. And you're going to learn things, and essentially, you're going to grow in the knowledge of his will. We pray to learn his ways of living and finishing well. Second prayer request is actually tied to the first one, and he gives us a purpose. He says, as you grow in knowing me, as you get soaked in with Jesus, and he's reigning more, the purpose is so that you live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So I need to have the first one to know the purpose, which is to live life well, pleasing God. Another way of saying this is acquire a thorough understanding of his ways. We pray that you live well for the master. We pray that you live well for the master. Did you catch that? Did you catch that you're living a life worthy of the Lord and to please him? Not Mago. Not Emmy. Not my wife. The purpose is so that we grow in the knowledge of him so that we are here to live pleasing him. Did you catch that? It's not about me. Did you catch that? The world doesn't revolve around you. Did you catch that? That you're not on this planet at the age of 48 with two kids or three kids and blah, 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 blah. Did you catch that? It's not about pleasing your self-centered view of the world. Did you catch that? It's about, did you catch that? I'm not living well for myself, but for God. It ain't about you. It's about living and finishing well for the Lord. It ain't about your name on the wall. It ain't about your legacy. It ain't about your money. It ain't about your business. It ain't about you. Sorry. It's about living well for the Lord. Because at the end of it, this is what I want. This is what I want. It's about Jesus coming to you and saying, Well done, good and faithful servant. Aha is your inheritance. It ain't about you and your name. It's about him being glorified through you. Well done, and faithful, good, and servant. Enter into your inheritance. We pray to learn his ways of living and finishing well. We pray to learn his ways for our own lives of living and finishing well. So, first prayer request, Paul's praying that we grow in this insight, in this knowledge of God's purposes, God's intentions, not just to learn, but to learn to do it. Second, which is the purpose, to live a well-pleasing life. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't just leave us with that. He gives us four participles. Again, not an English person. I actually learned what a participle was in first year of seminary at the age of 23. Yes, I passed through English in high school, but I learned what a participle is there. A participle is something that is ongoing. It has motion. It's continuously going. Ing, going, doing, participating, worshiping, fellowshipping, serving, loving. Okay? It's going to continue to go. So God says, Apostle Paul gives you four ways of these participles. Once God starts having permanent residency and the sponge is soaking in my life, he gives us four ways that there's going to be fruit of the bowl of the plate being clean. You follow? Once God starts taking permanent residency in my life, he ain't a tourist in my life, he's going through the fear closet, he's going to deal with the shame closet, he's dealing with the anxiety door, he's dealing with the future plans. Once God starts taking permanent residency, i.e., once I say I want to live for Jesus forever, from now until I die, y'all following me? Okay? Once he has permanent residency, four ways that are going to be showing evidence of that are these: bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and the last one, joyfully giving thanks. You know what fruit is. I love living in Fresno. You know, my sister coming into town, she's like, man, you guys have the best fruit. She tastes some of my oranges. I'm going, yeah, baby, I worked so hard to get that orange going, right? We love our fruit. We have great fruit. We take pride in our fruit. We're Ag City. We love our farmers, and we pray for our farmers to have great fruit so we can enjoy the good fruit. We know what fruit looks like. We know the work that it takes to get that great fruit. Grapefruit and grapefruit, right? We love the fruit. We see the evidence of the fruit. Right now we're in that stage of the blossoms, and the blossoms are all so beautiful, but they're beautiful because you know what's coming, right? The great fruit that's coming from that. You see, as we grow, as we continually learn, as we let the water soak in, as we let God have permanent residency in my life, it's not just my head. The evidence of this fruit is your ways of living are going to be transformed. You're going to start to live a different kind of life. So we hold on to number two. But I like the control of the way I want to live. But if you want Jesus to be reigning in your heart, in your life, you got to let it go. Because he's going to start going in and transforming and showing you the knowledge of his will and saying, this is the way I want you to live. We pray to learn his ways of living and finishing well. And we're finishing right now. Condition. Here's a condition. The more we're soaking in the water, the more God takes residence in my house. Look at this. I love this verse. You know me. I love empowering words. Being strengthened. You're going to be strengthened with all power. You know that word power? It's actually dynamite. You're going to be strengthened with dynamite. And we're not going to use the dynamite so we can throw it at people and blow them up. We're going to have the dynamite, because what happens? We're going to be empowered and strengthened with the Spirit of the Lord, because what happens? Illness comes. What happens? Financial pressures, moral failures, dissension at work, dissensions at church, difficult decisions, tensions in the family, difficult relationships, the injustices we're faced with. You see, the more we're soaking in with God, the more He takes permanent residency in my life, the more patience and endurance we have to say, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Because why? Because you can't do it alone. You ain't going to do it alone. If you think you could do this alone, take your wife or your husband out of the picture. If you could think you could do it alone, boy, you're up for a rude awakening. Because God's going to do it, and we need to be soaking in with Him, because life is going to throw all kinds of storms, and we need the power and the strength of the Lord. Pray to learn His ways of living and finishing well. Last participle is so interesting. It kind of bothers me sometimes, but it says joyfully giving thanks in all of this. Joyfully giving thanks. You see, God didn't send a politician, an economist, an educator, a physician, or an artist. Rather, God knew the biggest problem we have. You know what the biggest problem is? What's the biggest problem? Sin. Thank you, Barbara. Our sin, our rebellion. So God said, I'm going to solve your problem. I'm going to solve your problem of rebellion. I'm going to send my son to die in your stead, so that when you look at him and you see that your sin is crucified with him, you are being declared. When I ask for my pride, for my slander, for my jealousy, for my anger, for my hate, for my bitterness, for my lust, for my rebellion from God to be crucified with his son, then God says, I am rescuing you from the darkness of the kingdom of hell, and you will be with me in my inheritance forever. Not because of anything that you plan to do in living, but you get to do that because my son did it for you. That's what you give joyfully, give thanks to. If that doesn't live, that doesn't radiate at your core daily, joyfully give thanks for what God has done. He has rescued you from hell. Yeah, I said it. That's what you joyfully give thanks for. Because let's say, one last reality. We all want to know when the heart stops beating, what's going to happen? That's the biggest reality that we want to know. We all want to know, the minute my heart stops beating, what's going to happen to me? Well, if Jesus ain't taking permanent residency in your home, if Jesus ain't getting soaking in your life, if Jesus is a tourist and not permanent resident, then you ain't escaping the dangers of hell. I mean, yeah. But those who are in Jesus, the fruit of joyfully giving thanks will be apparent, because they can't wait. You see, those who are in Jesus can't wait. I know some of us are Presbyterian. We're all about order. We're all about stoicism. We're all about, I don't say anything out loud. We're all about, I sit nice and calmly. We want to be orderly. We even get our nap in. But if you know Jesus and he reigns in your heart, he takes permanent residency, and if you've been soaking in your time with the Lord, you know you can't keep that joyfully giving thanks for him. You can't. It's evident. It's fruit. We see it day to day. So whenever the next storm that comes in your life, and I promise you, you're going to face storms, you can joyfully give thanks. Because you know why? That storm ain't nothing. You got an inheritance in heaven waiting for you. We pray to learn his ways of living and finishing well. So we're going to stand together, and we're going to finish our service together. So stand with me. We're going to sing one of my favorite hymns. oddly, this hymn is sometimes sung at funerals, right? Because we got the death, the grief, and we're dealing with it. But I think this hymn should be sung every day in my life, right? Because peace like a river, and it's going to help us live well. The love of God is going to help us live well and finish well. Let's sing it together. Verses 1, 2, and 4.